I've got a question for you. What's harder, getting the gig or keeping the gig? Getting the first call or getting called back? Being able to get into a position or to keep the position over time? Well, my friend, you might be struggling with that because you might say both of them are difficult depending on where you are in your life and your creative career. Well, this is what you're going to find out in this episode of the Guiding Gig Show from my good friend, the incredible musical director and bass player, Chris Noden. He and I have had a long history, but what you're going to hear is not just how we have connected, but how he's connected the dots between not just becoming successful as a musical director, bass player, composer, and producer, but how he's learning the lessons of keeping that and evolving as a musician, even as his family grows and his influence grows. My friend, if you've ever wondered not just how to get onto these stages, but how to stay there and forge relationships that will keep you on top and in the right frame of mind, this is the podcast you need to listen to. So just give me a moment to welcome those of you who are new to Guiding Gigs, and then we'll get right into this fascinating and important conversation.
Artists, musicians, and creatives of all kinds, looking for help balancing your passion to create with your everyday life? Not sure if your faith can coexist with your profession? Welcome to a place where real artists discuss real life. You're listening to The God and Gig Show. Visit godandgigs.com for show notes, links, and more information.
Hello and welcome to our show. Thank you so much for making this podcast a part of your creative day. And if you are new to our podcast, thank you for giving me and our community a chance. Let me tell you why you're in the right place. As a creative, musician, freelancer, anyone in that content creation and art to entertainment space, but also with a heart for ministry, maybe even a position in a church, you are the kind of person who wants to build the best creative life they can by applying timeless spiritual principles to your temporary creative problems. That's what you're here for, and that's why you're in the right place, because that's what we do here on our podcast, our membership, and all of our other community initiatives. Well, thank you so much for being with us, and you could not have picked a better show to connect with us than to hear the encore presentation, the return of Chris Noden to the God and Gig Show. Now, Chris, as you'll hear in this podcast, has been a lifelong friend for me. And when I say lifelong, he's actually known me longer than I've known him. He'll explain that. But what you need to know now is why he's going to dispense such wisdom and knowledge into your creative life. Chris has been working with some of the best and brightest in soul and jazz, from Kelly Price to Ruben Studdard to the SOS Band to some of the best in the smooth jazz market and contemporary jazz. But again, you can't just take what he does professionally and think that's what makes him a worthy person to listen to. It's his character and how he's going to help you to realize not only how to get the gig, but keep the gig and be the right person that always gets called back because you are putting the right kind of character in front. You're going to hear how he's learned to become a musical director after 10, 15 years doing this. He's now forging relationships and learning the hard lessons to keep yourself successful even after you start to get successful. He'll also tell you how he's moving into this new season in his family and how he's now had to reprioritize and even find some new ways to generate those kind of income producing opportunities and to make sure that he puts his family and his faith first. If any of these issues have ever been a problem for you, how to find a gig, how to keep the gig, how to find yourself in the right place when you start to find success and not lose it by losing the people that matter most to you, this is the podcast you need to listen to. It's the one you need to bookmark, and it's the one you need to share with your friends so that they too can become absolutely dedicated and character-driven in everything they do as a musician and creative. My friend, I know this is going to bless you, so let's get right to it. Let's listen in to my friend, bassist, musician, musical director, and husband and father, Chris Noden. Ladies and gentlemen, there are only a few people in the world who can say they've been on the Guiding Gig Show from the beginning and been on it twice. They have to be the best. They have to be the brightest. They have to be the most professional. They have to be the most talented. So clearly this man has made the list. We're not talking about Grammys. We're not talking about Oscars. We talk about being on God of Gigs show, man. It's the highest honor. It is my pleasure to welcome bass player extraordinaire, composer, musical director, and husband and father, which is probably his favorite title, Chris Snowden, to the God and Gig Show. How are you doing, my friend?
My brother, Alan Paul, thank you so much for having me, man, here. Wow, my second time. I must be somebody special.
You are. I wish that was like something you could put on your resume, but it is.
Hey, matter of fact, the first one I did, I put it definitely on the resume. I mean, look at who you are. You're Alan Paul.
No, like, okay.
Slow down. Okay, for people that are watching, listening now, and probably going to watch this again, me and Alan Paul are from the same hometown.
Yep.
A small town of Pensacola, Florida. But I've been knowing who Alan Paul was majority of my whole life before I met him in 2015. And we did a show with artist Chester Gregory. Shout out to another Pensacolian hometown boy, Carl Lewis, for beating everything up. And so I've been knowing who you were, you know, and especially knew who your dad was and who your mom is. They're giants in the city. And I've been hearing about you, let's just say, my whole life until we met and we worked together. Dang, can you believe it? Next year will be 10 years?
Oh, my God. See, that's the part that, like, bothers me when we start talking about, like, oh, you know, I knew you when.
Yes,
because man. Then, like, I just feel older and older and older and older. And I know I'm supposed to appreciate it.
No, I'm getting older. Okay. That means I'm getting older.
No, you're staying. Okay. All right. Everyone's listening to this. Like, what are they talking about? All right. So we got to get to the meat of the matter, man, because we could talk about this. As you can see, everybody, we are friends. We're brothers.
We are really connected
over not just music, but this is why I wanted you back on the show, man. I'm so glad you accepted the invitation and said, hey, let's do this, because so much life has happened. And I think for every creative, whether they're musician, whether they're, you know, artist, you know, creative, producer, whatever, all of us go through these seasons. And you'll get to a point, it's like, how did I get here? What did I do right and what did I do wrong? And so that's why I wanted to have you back on, because you have perspective that you can share that you didn't even have back when we first started working with Chester, back when we first did our first our interview. So first, though, this is the tough part. I know everybody hates this part, but I have to ask you, because some people are meeting you for the first time. They didn't listen back to the very first episode. I'll put it on the show notes so they can go back. But if anybody's meeting you for the first time, what are those first two or three things that you want to make sure they know about you if they don't hear anything else?
The only thing I would say would be, hi, I'm Chris Snowden. That's it. And they'd be like, well, what do you do? And I'll just say, hey, I'm a professional bassist. I play for some people you may know, you may not know, you know. And then they'd be like, oh, really? Who do you know? And then, you know, I have to say who is my current boss. I said, do you know 2003 American Idol winner Ruben Studdard? This is apparently his bass player, you know. And I said, I've bassist for a few more other people that I've had the pleasure of working with, Dave Koz, the legendary Jeffrey Osborne, the legendary Brian McKnight, Kelly Price, Eric Darius, SOS Band, MC Light, God, just for a few people. I'll just say just for a few people. And, you know, and mostly everybody on the contemporary jazz scene, you know, that's what I just say, or I'll just say, and then I'll just say, but first, I'm just a human being.
Yeah.
You know, my first thing I love to tell people just to get them laughing, I'll say, I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody that Little Debbie made me big. That's it.
Wait. Yo,
I told you.
You got me. No, I was ready for the, I'm just a nobody, try about everybody, about somebody. I thought you were going to finish the male chorus line, because all the folk that have done in the male chorus have been in church have all heard.
You know that song. But I like to put my twist on it. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody that Little Debbie made me big.
And on that note, but not everybody. But you're so relatable, man. So here's where we can jump right into. You just named a bunch of people that have made made a lot of music, sold a lot of records, have been famous, whatever fame is now, you know, now it's influencer, but whatever, like who have real talent, who are doing it still across the nation and traveling internationally. Mm-hmm. So you entered that world. In our last interview, you talked about why you were able to survive in that world and get into it because you were professional, because you honored the call. Again, they can go listen to that episode. But now I want to dive into what you have learned since becoming that first call, that guy that has to run things. Because I've seen it, man. I've seen you grow and elevate. But that's maybe the harder thing. So tell me, like off the bat, I'm going to hit you hard off the bat. What are some lessons that you have learned since you started being more productive, more basically the first call? Like this is your band now. You're used to, you know, you're bringing in other people. So now what are the lessons you've learned that helped you like sustain the success you've gotten?
First thing I would say is trial and error. Everybody's going to go through that trial and error. I literally thought I was exempt from it, but it makes you who you are and makes you a better musical director, but even a better human being. Man, some of the experiences I've learned is that you may have close friends that can play, but that doesn't mean that they're fit for the gig. And so what do you do now when you have someone that's quote unquote close? You basically knew majority of your professional career, and you know, and of course, you know, put me on, and you can't put them on because your accountability and your credibility means everything to you. And so you do that and you find out, hey, they're not fit for the gig. So that doesn't mean the friendship stops.
Right.
But a lot of friendships have ended because I didn't quote unquote put you on the gig. But everybody has to make that decision. And one of my best friends, who's one of my mentees, shout out to him, Mr. West Bird. He's the MD of all MDs. And we're best friends. And we're good friends and we're brothers. But there are certain situations I can't go into because I may not be the fit for the gig. And it's a lot of things that goes into fit for the gig, and that doesn't mean you're playing, number one.
Right.
And it means who's there for budget-wise, who's some things that may be big or, you know, may hit big to you. It may be something that a budget thing that, you know, why you cannot go and all that. So you have to learn to be okay with that. And I have to learn that I have to make those decisions, you know. If I'm in the MDC and the artist says, here's your budget, here's da da da, you have to maneuver, you know. And sometimes it's not always, you know, you may want this person or that person to be on there, but just sometimes it just can't be. And then, you know, you have to learn. I've learned to separate personal from business. That's number one.
That's it. Yeah.
That's number one. So, and all that to say that I had to learn to separate personal from business, because certain business moves have to be made. You can't take it personal. That doesn't mean there's nothing wrong with you. It's just business. And then certain artists, it's just preference. So I had to learn how to decipher, you know, walk the thin line between the two. You know, another thing as an MD, you have to learn how to be a people's person. What may be a thing for them may not be a thing to you, but you have to respect and act like you care, and you do have to care.
Yeah,
because everybody is there's no I in team. There's no I in team. So you have to basically be the leader and be a team player at the same time. You know, so
yeah, man.
I just say it's trial and error. It's a lot of trial and error that I had to learn, and some things I did not get right. Some things had to come around a second time that I gotten right.
Yeah.
And so that what makes you better.
Right there, bro. I wanted to catch that before we go too far, because you're hitting so many great points. But the fact that you started with trial and error and then a people person, And again, I feel like we're doing it is an encore of the last episode because I'm pretty sure we talked about this. These are not musical qualities. You haven't said a thing about hey, I had to learn how to get my amp right. I had to learn how to get the right strings or sponsor. You didn't talk money, any of that stuff. So you're starting with relationships. And that's the thing I wanted to like make sure I nailed with, for anyone's listening. The fact that you were talking about, especially the part that you just talked about, like I said, I want to dig in right away. When you talk about your best friend doesn't call you for the gig or someone that you know really well and that doesn't damage the relationship, bro, can I be honest with you? That has damaged relationships in my life. Like, I don't know about you.
It has in my life as well.
Yeah.
You know, it has damaged my life, some things, relationships in my life as well, because I've been in the seat of a musical director and I had to pick the people. It's not picking the people who has the most notes, who shred, but you're picking the people, can't talk. You're picking the people who's fit for the gig. That's the main point. And that circled around on all levels, you know, professionally. If I call you, if load in is at 2 p.m., I need you there at 1:45. You know, or, you know, something may happen, but that person is on time. That person has their gear. They know the music. then they came with the proper attire and they came with the right attitude. Mm-hmm. So you have all of those five that goes on. You know what? Me and this person works. We work good together. You know what? Okay. But then, you know, You get somewhere. Well, why didn't you get the call? You get that, and even to two of my favorite, two quote unquote who I looked up to from afar. And one day I'm going to meet these guys and we're going to work together. Which is Adam Blackstone, Ricky Minor. Those are my two favorite bassist music directors. And I glean from afar. Even to them, they have those people. Why didn't you get the call? And da 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 da. Certain people just fits the opportunity and the situation that what it is. Even to me, certain situations I don't even fit. You know, and it's not a musical thing. It could be from a look, a certain image, or a certain look that they want to go with. You know, so. You have to learn to be okay not to be called.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're not good. That doesn't mean that you're not the best on your instrument. That just means that some better is coming. But so if my favorite quote, my wife loves is, if you stay ready, you won't have to get ready. And so those things like that is, you know, You pick to see, hey, who's going to first be there on time, who's going to be punctual, who's going to do the gig at a high level, and who's going to learn the music, and who's not going to be a butthole on the gig.
Right.
So before we even talking about, hey, let's go to the one, let's go to the four, before we even plug up and do all of that, you just picking the people because, hey, I like to work with these people because they're easy to work with.
And that's so much of this when it comes to, and I'm thinking not just in terms of like music stage, but in church and, you know, production, like you name it, there's just something about people who, I think the right word would be empathy. Like you said at the beginning, like you want to be known as a human being, like a good human being. And that's why I'm becoming more and more sold on God and Gigs being that place where we tell people, just this is how you be a good human being while you do all these other things. Because every interview that with a successful guy like yourself always comes down to, I just like working with good people. I like being a good person. I like being respectful. I like that. Like, do you think there's something in, I hate to go to negative, but we always do a little bit. Do you think there's something in people who are looking for the gig, looking to get put on, that makes them forget the whole golden rule, treat each other like you like to be treated?
I'm going to say yeah and a little no.
Okay. Expand. Okay. Yeah, expand on that. Yeah.
So Yes, a lot of people do forget the golden rule because you feel like sometimes in your mind, oh, I've made it or I've arrived.
Okay.
And no, you haven't. you know, I mean, it just treating people right, just even when you go into, and I had to learn this. I had to literally learn this myself so I could talk about it. It's just even if you're just going to just say Waffle House or to IHOP or just to any one of your local, one of your favorite restaurants, right? You treat the waiter right. And I remember one day I was on tour and shout out to this person, John Snow, awesome guitarist. And I sat down and told me, please sit down. And I sat down, and it was like 20 minutes went by. And I mean, I wasn't paying attention. I was just on my phone. And I just, man, where's my waiter? I've been there 20. He was like, hey, there's only one waiter in here. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Because I was caught up in doing what I'm doing. And, you know, you're used to when you sit down, boom, hey, how you da-da-da-da. So I didn't even look at the surroundings. So I was just so impatient. I was like, and I was literally upset. Like, well, I want my, you know, and he was like, hey, he says only one waiter. We have to be patient. And I was like, in that moment, it taught me right then and there. You never know what's going on. You didn't even look the surroundings. You haven't even checked. So, hey, even if there is a wait, we still treat people right.
Yeah.
We still, you know, because that little, hey, how are you? You doing okay today? That could go a long way. Nobody's spitting your food. Nobody's spitting your drink.
Right.
You know. So I would say yes to that point that we forget. We forget sometimes, you know, because of who we're playing for and all that. We forget to be a human being. But then that little no is some people just, you know, they still treat people the same because they know that, hey, you can be here today. And not here tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's just my little thing on itself. But you know.
No, I love that. That's good perspective, man. Cause I think the reason why I'm so into this right now is, as I mentioned even earlier before, that, you know, some of the stories I'm hearing from some of our former, there are guys that we came up with, right? Pensacola. There are guys from North Florida and anywhere in the world, obviously. It is not just for us in our location. But you're wondering, like, why didn't they make it? Why are we where we are? And they were there. And again, I'm not trying to put us on a pedestal. But as I'm getting older, dude, and as you're, you know, you notice this happening. We were just talking about it. Perspective teaches you everything. Hindsight is 20/20. So you start to realize some decisions I didn't realize I was making set me up to succeed. And clearly, those people that I'm looking at, like, what happened? They didn't make those same decisions. Can you think back to a decision? Like, I'm thinking right now, like, even whether it was high school, college, like, can you think back to a decision that you didn't realize was going to be as impactful as it was to, you know what I mean? Like, you didn't know. Mm-hmm. We didn't know nothing, man. We're just out there.
Right.
But right. At some point, either somebody said something or guided you the right way, or you made like a pivotal choice. And that was the difference between you being where you're at and then someone else that didn't make the same kind of choice. And you're like, bro, I wish you had, yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, I start at one of the things that got me was I'm always, maybe it's just the way my parents raised me. Just I've always been the guy that no matter who the artist is or where we're playing, we treat it like we're playing to 15,000 people. We treat it on a high level. Another guy I used to work with, keyboardist, his name is Alex King. Shout out to him from Jacksonville. He's Jacksonville's best kept secret, by the way.
All right. Not anymore. You just told him. You just ratted him out.
He told me, I mean, just working my way up in the ranks. He told me, he was like, hey, you treat everything like it's that tour you want. That tour you want to be on. And that'll set you up. And so that stuck with me. So whether it was church, 8 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock, whether it was a funeral, whether it was somebody's backyard birthday party, we I treated it the way like if it was a tour. If they want us to be set up at a certain time, we came before time, we did everything. So I just had in my mind from that day, I had to be like maybe 17, 18. And hey, we treat everything like it's like we're playing at the Hollywood Bowl, or we're playing at the Carnegie Hall, or we're playing the Red Rocks Amphitheater, or we're playing, you know, the Crypto Arena. We treat everything the way it is. And along my journey, I just found out some people just don't think that way. And I mean, it just sucks. But if it's something for them, they want you to, you know, they'll be, you know, but if it's for somebody else, it's like, man, I ain't putting my energy in it. And it's like, huh? I'm like, oh, okay. I know what to do now. I got you.
Right.
So you just, that's been the hardest thing for me, honestly.
The hardest thing to be like,
wow, you know, and it just feel like it's a letdown to that person because you know what that person can do.
So is the hardest thing accommodating them? Is the hardest thing realizing that they missed out? Like, I want to make sure, like, I pin that down.
It's like, the hardest thing was, wow, you're going to miss out. And it's like, wow, I don't know why you think that way. I'm not going to even understand why.
And you can't help it. You know, yeah, I got it.
I can't help
it. I got it. You know. I got it now. Yeah.
Because then when it comes to you or something that's important to you, you want everybody. So I feel like, you know, what the Bible says, you reap what you sow.
Yep.
You know, I'm that guy. I'm that guy, you know, whether I don't care what it is that another thing as we go back, whatever you agree to, you say yes to it, you have to obligate those things that they need.
Be a man of your word. Be a man of your word. Yes.
Right. So that was the number one thing. I've treated everything right. And the Bible also tells us if anybody wants to know, I am kind of a, I am a little church boy.
No, we're all churchy around here.
The Bible says if you be faithful over the little things, he'll make you ruler over many. And some people get that out of context, you know, take that out of context. Like, he can't bless you with $1 million if you're not going to be a good steward over the $1,000. He's not going to bless you to play for $15,000 if you can't be a good steward and treat the 150, the 150 people or the 50 people or the 500 people correctly. You know, so you have to treat everything like it's, you know, everything like it's that big on that quote unquote big gig. You know, that's the thing that set me up. That's the thing that set me up and keeps on setting me up, you know. And meaning treat it, that means respect the gig. I take the gig serious. I learn my music. If there's a certain code, certain dress code, certain time, you honor those. You know, you honor that, you know. And we ain't even got to on the stage yet.
Nope. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, bro.
These are the things, you know, that gets you to.
Yes.
It's those little things.
You know what I'm hearing, man, I love this so much. There's two things that popped up. Number one, when you talked about the 150, the guys that don't treat the 150 and 100 and the little restaurant gigs and little church musicals, they don't treat it right. Here's what I think you and I are discovering. And I'll say this even for the artists, because I've become very, very serious about the entrepreneur side of this, because these folks will be looking for gigs. And again, we're talking to all kinds of creatives. So maybe you're looking for a musical, right? Maybe you're a singer, maybe you're an actress, maybe you're a graphic designer, and you're trying to get on with these big, big things, right? What I'm finding more and more, bro, the money and the attention is in the little rooms. The actual look, like, bro, we're trying to spit game today. The real connections are never in those big arenas. They're always in those small rooms with just a few people. You show up and you're like, man, ain't nobody here. And then the person that walks up to you is the CEO of so-and-so. or the next person that walked. Like, it's always the small rooms that you discount that turn out to be those places that somebody walks in, right? Or even more importantly, like, those are the rooms where, like, people who have to make decisions, they ain't in the big arenas. They in that back room. They in that small room that you think is just a little party. So,
and they're taking their wife to.
Yes.
They're taking their wife to because they're having some downtime because they've been gone for a while from the house, which is another subject we'll get on to.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We got to go there.
They've been gone from the house maybe a few days and a few weeks, and we all have wives, and so we all know what that means. When you come home, she wants to go out, you know, so that's that letting that hair down and all that. And that guy may just, hey, you know what, baby, let's go to this thing right here. And you're sitting here, man, da 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 da. But that one person that's treating that gig right, that person connects with them, and that's the launch of their career. So, you know, it's always the little rooms. It's always the little rooms. It's not the, you know, it's not the, like you said, it's not the big arenas. It's really them small arenas.
Yeah, bro.
Really them, you know, I call those deposits.
Mm.
I call those deposits. Deposits and investments. I call it that.
All right, expound on that, because that's deep right there. The fact that you went to that phrase, right? Depositing and investing, because that's, you see, I was kind of angling toward like the business side, because I think what happens is, again, that we get so caught up in the outside part. We just talked about the character, your relationships, and then just how you treat each individual thing like an investment. Like, talk a little more about that. Like, why did you use that phrase?
So one thing was, I would say, the launch of my career. And I owe these three, like I said, I talked about it before, and I owe these three people, you know, they'll be like, oh man, no, you don't. Blah, blah, blah. Mr. Sean Michael Ray, the OG of the Southeast base, the OG, you name it. He's done it. Again, Mr. Westberg, those two was the launch key. I did a show for Mr. Sean Michael Ray, one of his artists, Mr. Alex Boo Young. Did that show. I didn't know what the band was. I didn't even ask about the pay. You know, I wasn't even on that. You know, just did the gig. And so I walk in the room to set up, and look who I saw to the right, Mr. Westberg on keys. I was like, oh, wow. You know, I said, oh, wow. It's like, glad I learned my music. You know, and I just let the stage, you know, the camaraderie, all of that, you know. Then when we got to the music side and, you know, to that side, you know, it was like, hey, I need a bass player for such and such and such. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Now, on the flip side, when I got the check, it was a small amount. But the investment I made was, if I could sound like this and we could play like this for the $200, $250 gig, I just set myself up so he can know I can handle the $500, the $1,000, the $10,000, that. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I get it. Deposit, I hope the listeners get it. I hope the people that are listening and watching are getting
it. The deposit and the investment. Talk about the small room.
The return. Right? The return is way bigger. Yeah, gotcha. That's awesome.
You get a lifelong spitting free game. You get a lifelong of work. But, you know, then that comes in what you said, the character. How you do things. So I looked at it as that. That's what I looked at it as. Okay, I'm going to take this, but I'm going to flip it and make it work. Not in a greedy way.
Right. No, that's it's exactly the opposite. It's not greed and, oh, I'm going to make so much more in this. It's more of the principle of, I'm going to treat this with the same respect that I expect or I want to treat the $1 million gig, that's $5, $5,000, whatever, like, you know, whatever. The numbers don't matter. That's what's key. The numbers stop mattering. Like, the actual zeros behind it stop mattering.
It's about who called you, yeah, and who are you connected to.
Amen. Yep. Bro, this is so powerful.
That's what it's about. And believe it or not, some people just still don't get it. Because they're focused, because you're focused on this amount of zeros. You know, but you're not looking at the lifelong relationship or the connection, you know, to sustain. Because we are all one phone call away from that big hoorah thing, whatever it is. You're really only one phone call away.
Yeah. That's so good, man. And you know what's funny? That as you said that, even in my head, I said, you know, it's funny that the older I get, the less we talked about the numbers. Obviously, you know, we're talking about being responsible. So obviously we're not saying the money doesn't matter, because I can hear people in the back of my head saying, no, I ain't playing no more $50 gigs. I'm done with that. We understand being paid what you're worth, but the key is acting like you're worth that first. Like, you can't be, oh, pay me what I'm worth, and you're still acting like you're worth that. So how am I going to trade you what you're worth, but you're acting
I can't pay you $1,500 when you acting like $100.
Man, see?
That's another subject.
I know. I was trying not to go there, but I just opened the door to it.
Not negative. That's just game. Like, even if you... okay, let's go there.
We opened the door. Might as well walk on through.
We opened the door.
We left the gate open.
You can't ask to be paid a certain amount. And first of all, you don't even look like you're worth it.
Wow.
And two, you didn't even properly prepare. You want this, but you can't even treat. Another one of my mentors say, if you can't go in and kill the $200 gig, what makes you think you're going to go and kill the $1,000 gig?
Right. Right.
And kill means my appearance. I'm groomed for the gig. I look the part. And then let's get into sound. How do you sound?
Yes. Yes. 100%.
Did you study that record? Did you study that song? Did you study the tonality of the song? Did you study, hey, this may be long notes, maybe half note, quarter note? Did you study the feel of that song or the feel of the record or that artist? Discography. Did you study? You know, did you morph it into, did you embed it? You know, that right there, you know, hey, did you do that?
Dude.
You know?
Yeah, you know, we're shaking our head. Like, if you're not watching, you're only listening, we're shaking our head, because like, this is the part where you run into like this wall. It's like, yeah, people who don't get that. Just, this is why I've decided in this entire platform, from the podcast to everything I share, I am no longer, and this sounds very arrogant, but I'm going to say it because I'm getting older. I can say stuff, right? I am no longer interested in the whole, I have to go back and pull people up, because the people who need to be pulled up are already fine, or they're already reaching. The people who are reaching and trying to, like, they're already there. Like, 90% of people who are listening to this are not the people who need to hear this. That's what's crazy. Like, I'm saying, like, the people, we're preaching to the choir. Because if they're listening to a podcast or watching a video about professionalism, 9 times out of 10, you already the kind of person that Chris would call. Because you're listening to him right now and you want to be this kind of person. You want to be this kind of creative. You want to be a person that has a wife and a family and has character and can go home and be who he is and not have to like lord it over everybody. Like, you're already that kind of person. So 9 times out of 10, man, we already know the circle. And the circle keeps getting smaller and smaller because it becomes more and more obvious who's in that. Like, we're not trying to be cliquish. That was a big thing for me back in the day. We're just talking now. And yeah. a big thing yeah. back in the day was I felt like, oh, I don't want to be part of a clique. I don't want to be one of these groups that, well, they only call each other and they only do this, only that. And I just realized it's not a clique.
It's not a clique.
It's just the people who I can depend on. And that becomes like a right. family. And my right. family doesn't get bigger unless somebody's like really part of the family. When someone right. gets married, and like I'll give a personal example. My daughter and my son are both married now, right? You know, we just talked about mm-hmm. how when you met them, they
were Naomi did get married. Yeah.
See this? So both of these in-laws I have, you know, I was looking at them crazy when they first were dating. Now they are my children. I have two new children, but I didn't get two new children just by them walking up and saying hi. They had to prove themselves to that spouse. Mm-hmm. And then they had to come over to my house and they had to hang out with me and I'm being crazy and I'm being dead and I'm grilling them.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm doing all this stuff. That's how you become part of the family. You just talked about it. Like you show up on time, you know the music, you don't complain when your check is this. And then all of a sudden you realize people that you're talking about, Wes Bird is now a friend, is family. But that took time for you to be a part of the family. It's not a clique. It's just the way you become part of a group.
Yeah. I mean, not only him, Mr. John, we call him down here in the South, the John Jackson. That guy's resume's a mile long. It's just certain musical directors. And they like you said, they become friends. And then when you realize it, like you said, it's not those another good friend of mine, David Smith, and J. Rod Sullivan. Those, you know, like you said, it becomes small, and it's not click. It's just preference, and you know that these people are going to come in and do the job right.
Yeah,
that's what it's about, you know. And I'm pretty sure. I mean, everyone has that. Everyone has that. They know that. Hey, okay, you know, I could call this person. Like, even to me, as the musical director at my church, Rye City Church here in my hometown, Pensacola, I can't call everyone. Right. I'm calling the people that I know that is going to do the job right and effective.
Yeah,
you know that's going to go that extra mile. That's going to go that extra mile without you even asking. You know, and that's literally coming to serve, you know, and that's just a team player, you know. So,
bro, okay, yeah. we've killed that because that is like our hearts. You can tell if anyone's listening, they're like, man, they can't get off the subject. It's because this is really who we are.
This is really who we are. This is our life. This is what,
yeah, man.
You know,
but I do want
to on our mind.
It's on our mind all the time, 100%, 24/7. But let me focus now. We just mentioned family, so you were just talking about my family. Let's talk about your family. Your biologicals, because man, your life has changed a bunch since you were last on the show. Episode 157, by the way, I look back, it was that was like the repost. So we've done like 100 since then. So you can go back to 157 and find first one. So since then, man, what has happened in the Snowden household?
So yes, I'm 2020 in the middle of COVID. Yeah, I know. I married the love of my life, Kimberly Sherelle McLaren. Now McLaren Snowden. We was dating for a couple of, for 2 years and got married in 2020. And in 2021, I was blessed with my son, my namesake, Christian Snowden Jr. And in 2024, I was blessed with my baby girl, Kristen E. Sherelle Snowden. So yeah. No more. Baby factory is closed. That's it. No more.
All right, you heard it on the podcast.
Yeah, so
it's on tape, so we can laugh at that later. You know.
So I have two under two.
So you just mentioned coming off the road and making sure that mom was happy. So now, bro, tell me how you're navigating that.
So now I came off the road of 2023. Came off the road, and honestly, how everything went, didn't want it to go that way, but let's just say it just needed it for that time. you know, certain things that you feel like didn't work out for you really worked out for you.
Yeah.
So hindsight is 2020, you know. So we move forward, right?
Yeah.
All right, great. So yeah, came off the road 2023, December, and my baby girl was born in January of 2024. And so now, you know, moving the coming off the road now you're making sure home is great. So when that time comes for you to get back on the road, you know, and I'm not off the road fully, you know. Just
no, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, like there's,
here and there. So it's
there's,
not
a,
like,
there's a balance of it that you have to find right. Now with the new season of your life. And
right.
What I really wanted to hit real quick was because I feel like our priorities shift.
It not, does.
Not
your priorities.
Not you didn't care already about, you know, making sure your home is great, right? But in terms of what you have to do to provide for that home, mm-hmm. your things, whether it be studio work, whether it be making sure you, like you said, your schedule now becomes, hey, I got to be home by X, or I can't be doing all the way over here, or can't be over there. So mm-hmm. I know it's only been a few months, but just tell me where's your mindset in terms of that going forward, like ownership, how you can handle that? Because you're, bro, like it happens to all of us. It happened to me and it's happening to you now.
It's, man, wow. So I would say with one, it was okay. You know, you can schedule this, schedule that, boom, boom, bam. You know, as we call it, shucking and jabbing. But two, whoa. You know.
That's just
so your priorities, your husband first and your father first. So you have to make sure that home life is taken care of before you even get your day started, you know, the things that you need to do, you make sure, you know, is my wife taken care of? Is my children taken care of? So now, you know, that whole dad life, you wake up early, you make sure, you have to wake up early before time.
Yep.
You know, to get the children ready for school, make sure their meals are taken, you know, the proper meals, make sure they're on time to school. You make sure they're on time to school, make sure they have the things, and then you come home to make sure it's your wife okay. Then, hey, you sit down. I'm learning now to sit down with the calendar planner, and you sit there with your wife.
Smart.
Yeah. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What can you do? Okay. What not? You know.
Mine's right, bro.
Listen,
it's a lifesaver. We're helping some marriages right now. We are helping some marriages stay married right now.
Listen, I'm in that life right now, and let's just be real. Every day is not peaches and roses.
Right.
Let's help some people. Every day is not peaches and roses. You may see that couple post a picture, but before they posted that picture, Cash App $ Christian Christian Snowden. I'm helping and blessing somebody today. Yes,
we'll put it in the notes.
And so listen,
send the offering.
And so listen, this is another thing. I surround myself with not because I'm not better than nobody, but I surround myself with people that are better than me.
Yeah.
I surround myself with people that are better than me. And what I mean by better than me is that, you know, when I surround myself with people that are better than me, it helps me get better. It helps it makes me better.
Iron sharpens iron, man.
Iron sharpens iron. That's what the Bible says.
That's it.
And so I surround myself with people like you, with people like my good friend, David Smith, Cameron Sankey, back again, Westbury, Sean, all these are their husbands and fathers, you know, that, you know, because, you know, let's just be real. It is hard, man.
It's tough, man.
It's tough. It's tough to, it's, you know, and you make sacrifices, and, you know, you make sure, and even you make sure that everyone's taken care of. Even when you're not taken care of, you make sure that everyone is taken care of.
100%.
And you make sure, you know, you make sure that, first of all, family's first, because our first ministry, before we ever plug up an instrument, before we go out the door, before we get on the planes, before we get on the tour bus, we make sure our first family is taken care of.
Yep.
Because when the lights go off, when the cameras go off, when the, you know, all the free food in the back, all the nice hotels, you know, you, when that last plane ride to your hometown or wherever you live, reality kicks right back in. I'm helping somebody today.
That's why I let you drop the mic right there. Cause this is again where I think a lot of people, and I'm for a second, I'll address those of us who may not be creative, who think, oh, this is such a glamorous life. They may be looking at this. They may have seen you up with Kelly Price. They may have seen you with the SOS band. They may have been like, they were in the audience, right? And so now they're listening to this or watching and they're like, oh man, like, I wish I could be that guy. I wish I could have been, you know, a musician. I quit in 12th grade. I quit in sixth grade. I would have loved to have been, you know what I mean? So they're thinking that this is like the life they could have had. I find that a lot, bro. A lot of people look at our lives.
I find that too.
And they're mm-hmm. like, I wish you could have, I could have what you have. And they don't realize on the back end, we have, I don't want to say it's, okay, I have to be careful now. The life of a musician, a creative, an artist is not worse. That's not what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not worse right. than a 9-to-5. I'm not saying that. I'm right. saying is there's an entirely different set of pressures
mm-hmm.
that most people would never. Is that a good way to put it in terms of what you just described? Coming yes. reality hits. Like, it's a different kind of pressure.
It's a different pressure. And then they have to realize that we are entrepreneurs.
Yep. That's where. Yep.
Mm.
It all falls. So, it all falls on you, and it falls. And
it all falls. It all falls on you. So that's the thing about musicians. We go through seasons.
Mm-hmm.
How do we prepare for those seasons? That's the tricky question. Oh, I wish I could have you like, no, because, you know, some days, you know, and if we all been here, we may make a substantial amount of money on this month. But the next month, we're in a dry season.
Yep.
How do we prepare for that? Do we say, do you know, have you saved?
Yeah.
Do you save your money for, you know, I've always heard my mother and father say this, you know, I remember like the day I graduated high school. All right. Make sure you start saving your money. You know, you're going to have a rainy day. Put some back for a rainy day. I'm like, rainy day, it's just sunny outside. Oh, the older I got.
And? That was wisdom.
You have to put back for those rainy days. And so, you know, when those rainy days come, you're sustained. You're not calling around, hey, you know, you have this, or, you know, you make sure that you're sustained. Everybody don't need to know what goes on in your house. Everybody needs to know that 100%. So, you know, back to the question, everybody thinks that we have days where we're depressed. We have days where sometimes as musicians, we have suicidal thoughts that, you know, that your gift is not worth, you know, it's not worth, you know, worth nothing. Or you feel like no one's listening to you or no one cares. We have those days, just like those people have it on their job when they want to walk out and tell their boss, I quit and all that. We have those same days.
That's real.
We have them, you know, so. So the musician life, it's not easy. It's really, it's not easy at all. I have to go through some things, you know. And I'm pretty you had yep. to go through some things too,
man,
you know.
If we don't have enough time, this would be a whole nother pot. We would have to do a master
class. That's a whole nother thing.
Dude. And here's what I would love to like, because I know I hate to end it because we could go another 2 hours. But I'm thinking in terms of the person that's listening now and watching, who's thinking in terms of, okay, he's played on all these stages. He's got, you know, he's got his family together, starting a family with 202. Like, I'm wondering what they are thinking about in terms of what is the actual thing they need to like do next. So I want you to leave this like with the thing with someone who's is where you were, let's say 10, 15 years ago. So 10, 15 years ago, you didn't know you were setting yourself up for this, right?
I
So talk to that person who is where you were at that moment and just give them like that very next thing they need to start doing, like whatever it is, like if it's like showing up on time more, if it's the advice you give them, like what's that one thing you would say out of all they heard? Like, hey.
That one thing?
Yeah.
That one thing? Keep going. It's hard. I know it's hard. It looks like it's, you know, it looks like you're the only one that's doing it and no one cares. Keep going. Keep going. Make sure you're still doing it at 100%. Keep going. It hurts, you know. Mm. This person may not like you. Keep going. Because what God has for you is for you. And there's no one that can take it away.
Amen, brother. Man, I look.
Even I don't care who you can have. I love, you know, I love this thing Tyler Perry says. You can have a million no's. All you need is one yes. That one yes from God sets you up, you know. And even right now in the season that I'm in right now in my life, I'm talking to someone, I'm talking to me too.
Yeah.
You know, seasons change. That's a good thing about seasons. You know, seasons change. So now I'm the husband and father, you know, and I have an amazing wife. God, that girl is amazing. I can go on about that. That girl is amazing. She's a mother, a veteran, Air Force veteran. She's an author. She's an entrepreneur. You know, did I say mother and wife on top of that?
Yeah.
You know, and still holds down, a job.
Amazing, you know, man. Look, we both married above our pay grade, bro. We both shot.
So tell Leah hello, by the way.
Yes, I will. She's gonna watch this. She's gonna laugh. She can't wait to.
You know, so Matt and you know, taking care of the household. You know, taking care of our children. You know, even to my three bonus children. Who are of age, you know, we're taking care of them. We running the whole ship. Then we get to us, make sure we're good, you know, making sure. Then I have to make sure my business over here, as the hashtag brand, you know, Snowden Thumps, whatever. I have to make sure that is amazing. I have to make sure clientele is amazing, you know. You have to make sure your clientele is on point. You have to make sure that you're, you know, providing a service, a great service for them too.
Yeah.
Then it gets to you. How are you?
I know, right? After all that, like, you know, this whole thing about like taking care of yourself, that whole thing somewhere fits in, but it is like the highest priority. And that's where, like I said, like, it's crazy how like we start to put all these pieces together, but it just takes time, man. But dude, you are literally one of the most solid brothers. The only kind of people that I want in my world are people like you, who are making me better, because I know that they are who they say they are. Integrity, all that, bro. Dude, let's leave them with something that they can make sure they can connect with you, because clearly we can't get all in one conversation, so they need to stay connected. So
yes, you can follow me.
Do all the socials and all that stuff.
Yes, you can follow me on Facebook, Chris Snowden. Matter of fact, just put Snowden Thumps in Facebook. On Facebook, IG, Snowden Thumps, Snapchat, Twitter. What else do we have? TikTok.
Oh, Lord, you're in all those too? Man, I can't hear all that, dude. I'm too old for all that. The ticking and the talking, man. I can't do it, man. Hey, I own these grades at this point, bro. I own them. I earned them. I own them.
I understand. And that's understand. All social media platforms, hashtag Snowden Thumps, SNOWDEN Thumps, THUMPS. So,
yeah, all get it right. Bro, this has been amazing. I want to make sure I hit this record to make sure it gets right to where it needs to go, or hit stop to make sure I save this, because this was golden, bro. This was golden.
Oh, man.
God bless you, man. And we have, look, I don't know, like, you know, my son was up there in Pensacola. I got to get up there, or either you got to come down here. We got
to
reconnect.
We're actually trying to plan a trip to Miami.
All right. So you do that. We're going to make sure to get Kim set up. We can get Lilia. They can make sure they can either go shopping or cooking or whatever they want to do.
No, hold on.
Wait.
Stop that shopping thing. Okay.
You're right. Let's hold off on that. That's right.
That's the woman's first thing.
That's why we got to go to work. That's why we got to go to work. That's what we be working at. My wife's like, why are you gone so long? I want you to get. I'm like, because you see this? You see all this?
They don't realize that they're.
Okay, we're about to get in trouble, dude. Let me hang up right now before we get in trouble.
We're going to help somebody. You know.
That's the marriage course. That's the next one. That's why you want to join God and Gig so you can get to the marriage course with Chris Noden as your marriage counselor.
Alan Paul. No, you're about. You're 20 in, right? You're 20 something.
I am 27 years in, Doc.
Yeah. See, I'm only 4 in.
All right. Say, but you're learning
November
fast.
November will be 4 for me.
You're learning fast. You're a prodigy. You're learning fast. All right, you guys. God bless you. Chris, thank you so much for being a part of the God and Gig Show, man.
Not a problem.
My friend, now you know why I had to have Chris back on the podcast. His amazing approach to life, his dedication to his family, his professionalism and his excellence when it comes to the music business, all of this speaks to what I hope will be in the heart of every creative, and especially our musicians who are in the God and Gigs community. So I hope you'll stay connected with Chris. Make sure to follow him. All of his links that he just mentioned are in the show notes. But if you want to connect with more creatives like him, you got to connect with God and Gigs and our greater community. You can do so by connecting with our newsletter, The Creatives Checkup, by going to godandgigs.com/info, where we send weekly encouragement and inspiration and tactics and tools to help you become the creative that you were created to be. Or you can join our free Facebook group. That's an easy way for you to get connected, and you can stay in the community socially, where we're sharing posts and we encourage other people, not just myself, but everybody, to share posts that they find interesting. Let them share their wins. And it's where you can connect with other creatives who are highly motivated. And you can do so for free right there on Facebook. But if you really want to get connected, the best way is to join our membership community, God and Gigs 360. You can join our Inspired Creatives Collective, and that's where you can simply get the templates and the workshops that we share every month. And that's only $10 a month at godandgigs.com/inspired. Or maybe you'd rather get live coaching, and that's why you'd want to join God and Gigs 360 Gold, which is where we share membership and mastermind calls so that you can absolutely get that one-on-one and group coaching with some of the best creators, the most inspiring people that you'll ever meet. They are residing in God and Gigs Gold. Well, I've told you all the ways that you can get connected and stay in relationship with God and Gigs. Remember, we are also a value for value podcast. So you can also remember all those links that I shared at the beginning and contribute to the show by providing time, talent, or treasure. Well, my friend, that's our podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, continue to become the creative that you were created to be. God bless, and I'll see you next episode.